All right, we're recording. We're in Daf Kuf Tet tonight. All right, let's go back to the Daf. So on Kuf Tet Amud Aleph, so we just finished the sugya about Afikomen. I'll pick up from around 10 lines from the top in near a small gimel. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Chayav Adam Sameach Ben Avunei Beito Beregel. A person's obligated to make his children and the members of his household happy on the regel. There's a mitzvah being misameach to make sure the other people, the members of the family, are happy on Yontiv. Shenemar v'samach tabachakecho. So it says you should be joyous on your holiday. And again, the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk, but you need the whole pasuk. It says v'samach tabachakecho atav and chavitecha v'chavavatecha. And this is the almana, the atom, the ger, shebekerbecha, the widow, the orphan. Everybody should make happy. You know, there's a famous Rambam where the Rambam says that if a person is just like he gathers the members of his household on Yontiv, and he's just like joyous with them, and he doesn't open up his door to the almana, to the yatom, then it's like Hashem like has a pasuk. It's like I'll throw like perish chageichem. It's like the garbage of your holidays in your face. And it was not the simcha that Kadosh Baruch Hu was looking for. And you know, with this halacha, it doesn't have to be a financial issue. In other words, if a person doesn't have a place to be for Yontiv, so for that din, the person is like poor. The person can be a millionaire, but they don't have a place, you know, for the Yontiv, so then they're a needy person in that fashion. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, b'mem samcham, how do you make the members of the household happy? Be yayin, with wine. Now, if you look at the Tosfos, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth Tosfos, it says, Bamim Samcho, be yayin, Hainu Bizbanazel. Bizban Beit HaMikdash, Ein Simcha L'Bavasar. That's now, after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, yayin is operative. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was the Basar, the meat of the Shalmei Simcha, is what you would have. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anashim Barui Lahem and Anashim Barui Lahem. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be Mesameach tailored to each person. Men with what's Rui for men, women with what's Rui for women. That's the end of the Braisa. We're around 15 lines down on Kuftet Amud Aleph, Robert, okay? Okay, so he says, Anashim Barui Lahem B'yayin. So the Gemara says, men, what's appropriate for them, that's wine. That's what makes men happy. Benashim b'mai, what makes women happy? So Tani Rav Yosef, taught a brisa. He says, b'bavel b'bigdei tzivonin. If you're in Bavel, they like colored clothing. He says, b'eretz Yisrael b'bigdei pishtam goatzin. In Eretz Yisrael, the pressed linen garments is what does it. So the, you know, I didn't review this recently, but there's a Shagas Aryeh. In other words, we'll see in a minute. Like the Rambam learns that there's a mitzvah to have meat even bizman hazeh. According to the sheet of the Rambam, it means like on a yantiv, you should really have not just like poultry, like chicken. You should have meat, like the four-legged type of meat, is the way the Rambam seems to learn. He learns that there's a mitzvah even with basar bizman hazeh, even after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. But there's a, I think it's a Shagas Aryeh. He wants to say that it depends on the person, the place, the things, whatever makes people happy. So Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira Omer, Bizman Shemikdash Kayam in Simcha L'Basar. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, Simcha is only with meat. Shenemar B'Zavach T'Shlamim B'Achal T'Sham B'Samach Tal Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Now this pasuk is a pasuk that appears when in the Chumash by Har Eval Har Grizim. That says you'll go to Har Eval Har Grizim and you write the Torah on a stone and then you'll bring Korban Shlamim there. But if you look in the Tosfos, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth Tosfos, Bizvachta Shlamim Bechalta Shama Samachta, Tosfos Tema, we know Tema is the strongest question Tosfos has, Daikra Bahar Eval Ktiv, Velo Maiti Kra Du Samachta Bechagecha, Tidarshin Mine Bechagigal Rabokul Mile Smachot Lesimcha. So he says, in other words, why is he quoting this Pasuk, which is a pasuk by Har Eval Har Grizim? He's got the much better pasuk, B'samach Tabach Hagecha. That seems like, you know, the bullseye. B'samach Tabach Hagecha, be happy, joyous on your holiday. What's he quoting a pasuk like Har Eval Har Grizim? It's got nothing to do with Yontiv. He says, Mikan Amru Yisrael Yotzin Yidei Chovatam Ben Adar Ben Adavo. So he quotes from the Gemara Masechet Chagiga, they darshan in the pasuk that talks about Yontiv, that you can be Mesameach with Adar Ben Adavo, with voluntary korbanot. So V'yesh Lomar, it says in this pasuk, it says explicitly you'll bring the shlamim and you'll be happy, meaning that it's connecting the Hava'at Shlamim with the aspect of Simcha. That's what he wants to tie it into. All right, let's take a look. One minute. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, "V'achshav she'ein beit hamikdash kayam." Now that we don't have a beit hamikdash anymore, in simcha el b'yayin, the simcha is b'yayin. Shnemar b'yayin yisamach l'vav enosh. Yayin makes the person happy. So you know, there's a question: how? First, some people, it depends, I guess, how careful you are. Some people try to have, like, even on Chol HaMoed, some people try to have wine even on Chol HaMoed. In other words, there's a mitzvah of simcha even on Chol HaMoed. In other words, the mitzvah of simcha the whole day of the whole Yantiv. Some people try to have wine each day of Chol HaMoed. I guess if you would really take it to its logical conclusion, you should have meat as well, you know, each day of Chol HaMoed. But again, the Shakas Aryeh seems to say whatever, you know, makes you happy, you do whatever makes you happy. Now, the this mitzvah of simcha is like one notch above what we have on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we have kavod and oneg. There's a chiv kavod and oneg Shabbos. And then on Yantiv you have the mitzvah of Simcha. All right, who's the question to come to anything we did so far? Are we good? All right.
Just double checking. When the women are supposed to get what's suitable for them, is that a reasonable woman standard, or is it tailored to the particular woman?
I think it's for the particular woman. If you know your wife wants X, give her what she wants. Yeah. In other words, you know she wants the necklace, she doesn't want the dress, so give her the necklace, you know. Make her happy on the Yantiv. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, can you tell me where you are?
I'm on Kuf Tet Amud Aleph, 109A, around 10 lines from the bottom. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you good? Everybody good? All right, let's keep moving. All right, now, so I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the Gemara gets into what's the shear of a Raviyat. Raviyat means a quarter of a log, and the Raviyat is the shear that we use for a Kiddush, and, you know, anytime you have a cup, a kos of a Havdalah, the Arba Kosot at the Seder, you know, so Raviyat is an important shear. The Gemara is getting to how do we calculate what a Raviyat is. Raviyat means a quarter of a log. Log is the whole shear. So the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasa de Maraisa, the Havabit Sipuri, there was this, Kasa is like they had this measuring cup or dish in Sipuri. It was Kasa de Maraisa. Maraisa is usually brine, or the fish fat is what they translated here. That was in Sipuri. Sipuri is a town in the Galil. So, he Havat Kimin Loga de Mikdasha. That Katz de Maraisa was equal to log in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's talking about after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they needed to know the Shiurim. They had a lot of different things they needed logim for, right? Like for the Menachot and things like that, you had to figure out how much, you know, how much oil. Well, there is like you had the hin, but there are logim like let's say with the Metzora, you know, you have a log shemen. There are different logim in the Beis HaMikdash. He says ubam sharin reviyat shel Pesach, and they would measure the reviyat. In other words, if that's a log, a quarter of that amount is what I need for each cup on Pesach. So they would use it to measure that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Timnaita Kadmaita, Dahaba Bitaveria, Habaditera Alda River. So he says the old Timnaita was another measuring cup that they had in Tiberia. Tiberia is also in the Galil, as you know. And that was large. In other words, apparently they changed the shiurim. They had the old Timnaita and the new Timnaita. So the old Timnaita was larger. So if you took the old one and poured it into the new one, the amount that would be left in the old one would be a revius. So it was like one revius larger than the new one. He says, Ubam Sharin Reviyat Shel Pesach. They would use that to measure the Reviyat of Pesach. So that doesn't help us too much because we don't have this Timnaita and we don't have the Kasa de Moraisa. So Amar Rav Chista, Reviyat Shel Torah. So Rav Chista says, and this is an important Gemara we'll discuss more shortly. Amar Rav Chista, Reviyat Shel Torah, Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim Brum, Etzba'ayim v'chatzi Etzba v'chomish Etzba. So Rav Chista says, the Reviyas of the Torah is Etzba is like a finger's breadth, breadth of a finger. So they say it's a thumb, but it means like two fingers. In other words, the way the length and the width, there's two fingers length, two fingers width. By a height, it comes out to 2.7 fingers because he has Etzba Ayim, that's two, B'chatzi etzba, that's 2.5, 2.5 etzba. Then he's got a chomesh etzba, a fifth of an etzba. So a fifth of an etzba is 2/10. So it's like 5/10 and 2/10, 7/10. So two etzba by 2 etzba by 2.7 etzbas. So that's the shear of a revi'it. That's the shear of a revi'it. Kidetanya, like we learn in the Braisa, v'rachatz b'mayim ekol b'saro. The Braisa quotes a pasuk. It says the person will immerse himself in the mikvah. He says v'rachatz b'mayim ekol b'saro. He'll literally like he'll wash in water his whole flesh. So it doesn't say v'rachatz b'mayim. V'rachatz b'mayim ekol b'saro. So shloyeh hidvar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim. That teaches me he shouldn't have any chatzitza, any interruption between his skin and the water. And then he says, and then b'mayim in the water. What's the water? The special water, b'mei mikvah. And mei mikvah means it has to be mei geshamim. It was never in a keli, and so it's never mekabel tuma. That's the mei mikvah. He says, et kol b'saro mayim shekol gufo olebahen. It has to be water that the person could immerse his whole body in one shot into the water. He says, v'kamahein, how much is that? Turn page on the top line on Kuf Tenement Bays. Amal ama brum shlosh amot. One ama by one ama by three amot. In other words, three cubic amot. And it was the minimum shear for, that's 40 sa'a. The minimum shear for a mikvah is three cubic amot. He says, v'shiaru chachamim shir me mikvah arba'im sa'a, 40 sa'a. Now, from what the Gemara is going to extrapolate, and Rashi and the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Hananel, they each have different ways of extrapolating it. But once I know the shear of a mikvah is, in other words, I have linear measure and I have the liquid measure. In other words, I have ama al ama brum shlosh amot. So on one side of the equation, I have three cubic amot. On the other side, I have 40 sa'a, a measure of liquid measure. So there's a way to convert that into the shear of two etzbas by two etzbas by 2.7 etzbas equals a revius. And we're going to try to do it right now. And there's a lot of different fancy ways to do it. I think the simplest way, which the Arts will quote, is from Reno Hananel. So the first yisod is 40 sa'a is equal to 3,840 revi'iyot. It's like in geometry, whatever, you know, or in algebra. In other words, you have A equals B. So on one side, we have 40 sa'a. 40, how many 40 sa'a? How many, a liquid measure, how much 40 sa'a? How many revias do I have in 40 sa'a? So a sa'a is 6 kabin, a kab is 4 lugim, a log is 4 revias. A sa'a equals 996 reviat, and 40 sa'a is equal to 3,840 revias. So on one side, I've got 3,840 revias. On the other side, I've got one amma by one amma by three amot. So if you convert that into fingers, in other words, how many etzbaot? In other words, amma al amma. Each amma is 6 tefachim. Each tefach is 4 etzbaot. So each amma is 24 etzbaot. Each amma is 24 etzbaot. So I have a size 24 etzbaot by 24 etzbaot, that's amma al amma, and then by 3 amot is 72 etzbaot. So I have 41,472 cubic etzbas, 41,000. Anyway, if you do the math, so the 41,472 cubic fingers is equal to 3,840 revi'iyot. When I reduce it, I get, when I take those figures and I reduce it, I get one revius is equal to 10.8 cubic etzbaot, and 10.8 cubic etzbaot is 2 by 2 by 2.7. All right, but anyway, the main point is that the Gemara has this linear measurement to calculate what a revius is. Now, the difficulty is like this, and they mentioned the whole thing in the art school, but it's a well-known, it's a tzlach, Noda Yehuda, in the 18th century, he was ma'orer. If you look, the Gemara teaches us elsewhere that a log is equal to 6 beitzim. A log is 6 beitzim. So Revi's log is 1.5 beitzim. So I have one shear, 1.5 beitzim is equal to Revi's. And I have another shear, 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2.7 etzba. Those two do not match up. Now, it comes out that the etzba measure is much larger. I don't know how to exactly, to my way of thinking, the etzba measure doesn't sound so much larger, but it's much larger. And so the Nota Behuda was trying to figure out how come the two don't match up. So it's either people got bigger or the eggs got smaller. That's the only thing so he says that the people got bigger. He doesn't think that that's the situation. So he thinks that Katnua Shiurim, that the Shiurim with the Beitzim got smaller. The Beitzim we're using are smaller than the Beitzim that Chazal were speaking about. So he calculates, the Nota Behuda, he calculated that it got smaller by half. So that if you want to be Yotze, you really need 3 beitzim. So where before you needed a beitzim and a half, he, the Nota Behuda, thinks you need 3 beitzim to really be able to do this. Now, the Mishnah Berurah discusses this in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph in Hilchot Kiddush. And over there, he says he doesn't think it really works out quite so well, because he figures, like, if you do Melo Lugmav, in other words, like, one sheikful should be a row of revias. So 2 sheikfuls should be a revius. And he says he did the experiment with a lot of people with their how much they could hold in their cheeks, and he came maximum 2 beitzim. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah thinks. But we do try to be more machmir when it comes to these different shiurim. So I mentioned already that I told you when the way the Shiurim, the Rei Ramoshev calculates it, if it's a Din D'Rabbanan, he says you could rely on 3.3 fluid ounces. So if you're making Kiddush during the day, whether it's Shabbos or Yantiv, according to Ramoshev, if the cup holds 3.3 fluid ounces, it's fine. If, on the other hand, there's a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, if I'm using the cup for something which is D'Oraisa, so the Kiddush on Friday night is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the first one of the kosot is obviously kiddush. So there's a question whether kiddush on yontiv is d'oraisa or not. But if I assume that's d'oraisa, so Ramosha would say you need 4.42. Once the first cup is 4.42, the other cups also need to be 4.42. Now, let me see if I can get this out here. Let me pull it out. Let me see. This is the Rabbi Eider's book. He's let me see where he has about the kid wine. Here we got this. Oh, here's how large is Revius, right? Right. All right. This he says the whole thing. Now, again, not everybody agrees with the Nota Behuda. He says here, this Rabbi Eider, he says, the Shari Tshuva and the Mishnah Berurah conclude that one should conduct himself like the Nota Behuda to double the measurement where we are dealing with the mitzvah of the Torah. He says, we may assume that the measurements have not, but for a mitzvah de Rabbanan, we may assume that the measurements have not changed. Anyway, he says that, he quotes over here, where is it? There's something from, Now, he says, it's interesting to note, the cup used by the Chafetz Chaim for Kiddush holds 5 fluid ounces. In other words, they have the cup that the Chafetz Chaim used, and his cup was 5 fluid ounces. And he says the cup used by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter holds 4.1 fluid ounces. Now, where's the Chazon Ish? 1 minute. Oh, yeah, here it is. Now, he says also the Sefer Shirei HaMitzvot, based on the measurements of the Chazon Ish, says the Revius should contain 150 milliliters of water, 5.07 fluid ounces. So, and he says, the Chafetz Chaim says one should preferably use a cup that holds the volume of 2 eggs, approximately 4 fluid ounces. Anyway, so of the Shirim that I mentioned, the most machmir was 5.07 fluid ounces, which is based on the shiurim of the Chazon Ish. So, you know, most people, but the key is, you know, first, like, you want to check the cup you're using for the Seder. It's not such a difficult mitzvah to do 4 cups, but if you're having cups and they're holding 2.5 fluid ounces, so then you're not doing anything, right? So why, you know, why do you want to play around with it? You want to have cups that, you know, have the right shear. But on the other hand, I mentioned that you don't want to go too big. If I have a cup that's 10 fluid ounces. So then, according to a number of poskim, you have to have most of that cup, which is a lot of wine. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Let's go on. No. All right. We're on Kuf Tanamud Beis. Okay. The second line from the top. Amar Vashi, Amar Li Rabin Bar Chinna, Shulchan Shel Mikdash Shel Prakim Havo. So this is just like a tangential topic, but it relates to what we had discussed earlier. Ravashi says that Rabbi Baruch Hinnah said to him that the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, now the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash was 2 amot by 1 amah, that's the length and the width, 2 amot by 1 amah, and then the height was 1.5 amot. Now he's going to say that in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, they had a mikveh, which was the minimum shear for a mikveh. They had a mikveh, which is exactly 1 amah by 1 amah by 3 amah, which said, or one shot, I think the Rashbam brings down, it might be that it was the, there's an amah that goes in like a channel in the Beis HaMikdash, but the amah is 1 amah by 1 amah, and then you have the other way. So he says, Shulchan Shel Mikdash Shel Prakim Habav, it was made of like parts that could be put together and taken apart. If you assume it's like one solid piece and can't come apart, he says, Amta ba'amta hechi mitbalei. How can you stick something which is 1 amah? In other words, here the shulchan, the width of the shulchan is 1 amah. How can I stick something which is 1 amah into a mikveh which is 1 amah? In other words, it can't fit. In other words, it's like, you know, you walk it, let's say, through a doorway. If it's measuring exactly the same as the door, wouldn't fit. Now, there's some of the mafarshim say you could fit it in at a diagonal, but they say it wouldn't fit in the diagonal either. It had other things on it. So my kusha. So the Gemara says, what's the kasha? Now the Gemara learns that the shulchan is al shulchan Torah, that the shulchan is susceptible to tuma. So I think it's talui on whether it's movable or not. The shulchan obviously was movable, so it's susceptible to tuma. So how could they be metahir it? So the Gemara says, my kusha dilma biyamsha sashlomo haba mapilei. Maybe the yamsha sashlomo in the first base of Mikdash. So in the Navi in Sefer Malachim, it says when Shlomo built the base of Mikdash, there's a yamsha shlomo, this big basin that he made, which also was a mikveh. He says, "Tani Rabbi Chiya Yamsha Sashlomo Machzik Meya B'Chamishim Mikveh Tahara." That the yam that Shlomo made could hold 150 mikvehs. In other words, it was humongous, so they could stick it in there, and that's not a problem. The Yam Shel Shlomo is a sefer. Who knows who the Yam Shel Shlomo is? You have the hint already in the title. And you know, I think it's the Rokeach. The Rokeach says everybody should put their name in the title. Or if you have a title, it has your name in it. I think the Marshal, right? The Marshal has a commentary on different Masechtot called Yam Shel Shlomo. Okay. Anyway, it's like a double entendre. The water is always like Torah. His name is Shlomo. It's Yam Shel Shlomo. You got the idea. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody looking very serious here tonight, but let's go on. Okay, we're at the two dots on Kuf Tanamud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'lo yifchatu lo mi'ar ba'a." So if a person, he needs staka, and he's being supported by the Tamchui is for the very destitute people, so they shouldn't give him less than 4 kofs of wine. So he says, "Heichi mitachti rabban midi da'ati bali de sakana." How could the Chachamim have established a mitzvah, i.e. Arba Kosod, when Arba Kosod are going to cause the person to be in sakan, in danger? V'hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, lo yochal adam trei, a person should not eat things in twos. In other words, like I shouldn't have 2 bananas, 2 eggs, or anything like that. I shouldn't have anything in twos. V'lo yishte trei, I shouldn't drink in twos, 2 cups. He says, obviously here I have 4 cups, so 4 cups is like 2 times 2. He says, lo yikaneach trei, a person shouldn't, if he's cleaning himself up after he goes to the bathroom, he shouldn't do it in twos. Though he says, Rachav Trey, he shouldn't engage in 2 acts of intimacy with his wife. He says, so in other words, all of those things are a sakana. All right, let me pause for a second and hopefully explain this whole thing. So there's two routes you could take with this. You have the more sort of rationalistic approach, or the or a different approach. So one way is to say, and I think the Meiri says this, I didn't check up the Meiri recently, but I think the Meiri says that there were a lot of things that the people believed in, and as long as it didn't have an aspect of Avodah Zarah, the Chachamim were not concerned about being uprooting those things. So, and the Meiri bases himself, the key line that Meiri bases himself, it's a line coming up in the Gemara. Of course, let me see where it is. 1 minute. It says on, So this is in tomorrow's daf on Kuf Yod Amud Beis. It says, "Kol kapid kapti badei, kol lo kapid lo kapti badei." That if a person is concerned about these things, like with mazikim, you know, spirits that will harm him, so then the spirits are getting involved with him. But the person isn't concerned with it; they don't bother with him. So the Meiri takes that as a siman to what he's saying, that there's really like no mamashas with it. That's one derech to say. The other derech is to say, no, these things do, it is a concern. In other words, like just like Hashem created the world, and he created like different kochos in the world, and there's the koach of tahara, there's a koach of tumah as well. And through the koach of tumah, a person can tap into this koach. It's like Zulu's Lumat Zubaralo Kim. God created everything like an equivalence. So with all of these things, so there is a kochos with this. Now, you know, there's a piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. All right, 1 minute, Avraham Moshe, I see you. Just 1 minute. So there's a piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He speaks about this. He talks about the Khartoumim with Paro, and how did the Khartoumim have a koach and things like that. And there's a Rambam. The Rambam says that, like in other words, like person, like these things have no mamashas, and a person shouldn't believe in any of these things. So the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to be miyashev. He wants to say that that when at a point in time when Jews had nevuah, in other words, when God was speaking to us through a prophet. So on the other side, the flip side of the coin, these kochos of tuma also existed in the world. And it was like Zulu Matzu Baralokim, like God creates everything in a state of equivalence. So in other words, if I have these group of people and there's nevuah, they have prophecy, God speaks to them. And the other group not, so it's not even a Bechira Chafshi. So obviously I go with the people who are the prophets. But if here I have prophecy and here I have people who do something that seems like sort of equivalent, then I have like a Bechira Chafshis. I don't know which way to go. And then I have to use my choice. And that's what the way God creates the world, with Bechira Chafshis. So he, Rabbi Yaakov, wants to say that Rambam will agree that at an earlier point in history that these things existed. And there was like this koach in the world. And he mentions also have like there was a... there's a Yiddish, this is up your alley, Ruth, right? There's a Yiddish play, The Dybbuk, right? The Dybbuk, it's, who wrote The Dybbuk? Ruth, you know who wrote The Dybbuk?
Fanny Chayefsky.
No. Do you know who wrote The Dybbuk? There's a Yiddish writer, I can't remember as we speak now. Anyway, but there was an incident. No. Anyway,
Shalom Aleichem, he's the incident.
No. Okay. Anyway.
Singer.
None of the above. Okay, now
someone must have looked it up by now.
Okay, anyway, but there was an incident. Okay, anyway, there was an incident in the time of Rel Chanan. Like a dibbuk is like a person's possessed, like by the spirit, and there was an incident in the time. Of, please, everybody mute themselves, and I'll open the floor in a minute. So there was a time, an incident in the time of Rel Chanan, where he Rel Chanan said this would be the last incident with a dibbuk. This would be the last incident with a dibbuk. In other words, so that's the other, that's the basic.
There's somebody named Ansky.
Yeah, that's it. What's his first name?
S. They give an
all
initial.
All right.
But I believe Paddy Chayefsky also did something.
So Ansky was the one I was thinking of. Anyway, yeah. He just wrote a play, but there was an incident with a dibbuk in the time of Rabbi Elchanan, and he thought it would be the last one. Anyway, so that's two basic drachim you could take. Either that, so the Gemara is going to say that doing things in pairs is dangerous. If I do things in zugot, it is a danger. So the Gemara is asking, if doing things in pairs is a danger, how can the Chachamim have created a mitzvah where the mitzvah itself causes me to do things in pairs? I have, you know, two pairs or four cups. So it's two zugot. That's the basic idea in the Gemara. So either zugot it has chashivas or like the way the Meiri is more rationalistic, not. And the Rambam sounds like also more rationalist, but you could say the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the Rambam will agree that these things did exist. In other words, like kishuf exists, like today it doesn't exist so much, but then it did. Okay, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? What did everybody, who wants to speak?
I was going to say a couple of things. First, I was going to say the things from Rabbi Yaakov, because he said that in Beis Medrash. I remember him talking about it. The other thing I was going to say...
Wait. And what do you remember him saying?
Saying that there is such... That in the olden times, there was...
All right. I can't hear you anymore, Arthur. You go ahead. You're in and out, but go ahead.
Isn't there an idea that when the Beis Hamikdash exists, there's no mazikim, but there's a medrash I think that says that Gamliel, that when he was crying because his neighbor lost the son, and he lost all of his eyelashes, and the Talmidim made her move away, or something from where Gamliel was, and they said, why was he crying because she lost her son? Why wasn't he crying over the Chorban Beis Hamikdash? So he says, that's the idea. If there had been the Beis Hamikdash, she wouldn't have lost her son.
And why did she lose her son?
She lost, the son died. Something happened.
The son died. Okay. But the Beis Hamikdash.
And then the other thing is that I want to say is that Elchanan Wasserman took over the Dibbuk from the Chofetz Chaim, gave him over the Inyan from Dibbuk because he was too busy with other things.
Right.
And that one Dibbuk, he asked the Dibbuk, how do they hold in Shemayim from the Chofetz Chaim, from my Rebbe? So the Dibbuk answers, they hold him like a Tana. And he asked them why. And so the Dibbuk answered, because of his Pashtas and his Hasmada.
All right. I think Anski's first name is Shalom Anski, I think. I'm not sure. Okay, who else wanted to speak? Anybody?
Lecha Mishnah. You have Lecha Mishnah. So, I mean, it's twos, right?
What?
Lecha Mishnah is two.
Well,
it's supposed to be two. I mean, so many things are two.
But let's follow the roll. With Lecha Mishnah, you're not eating two, you're taking two. In other words, here the Bryce is saying if you eat twos, if you drink twos. So just
Arba Konfos.
Yeah, so right. In other words, but it means like the Brisa says, again, let's look at the Brisa. So the Brisa says, let's see again. Yeah, five lines from the bottom. Lo yochal adam trei, lo yishte trei. Don't eat things in pairs. Don't drink in pairs. So with Lecha Mishnah, you'll have one challah and leave one. You know, and you say the Arba Konfos. I mean, a house has got four walls. You know, what I mean, it doesn't mean you can't build a house. It's just you can't eat, you can't drink with these things. That's what it's saying. Okay, who else wanted to speak? Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a question. In the Chumash, there's a prohibition against listening to sorcerers and witchcraft and
right.
All this. If there's such a prohibition, why was superstition such a strong part of the Jewish ethos back then? There's so much reference to superstition.
Yeah, no. So one
the Gemara.
No, so in the Gemara, it seems that there was something. I have to take out the Rambam, but from the Gemara, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that there was some. The kishuf has mamashes, that people were doing things with kishuf, and it is a powerful force in the world. The only thing is that I have to take out the Rambam. I think the Rambam, that's the Rambam that's difficult, where the Rambam says like a Jew shouldn't believe in these things. And that's the one that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wanted to be Miyashev. And Rabbi Yaakov wanted to say that the Rambam means like today there's no kishuf, but there was kishuf in the ancient world. But but either way, so the simple pshat is that there is something as kishuf, and these are things that have significance, and you want to guard against them. Not that you should engage in kishuf, or they're saying that in the world or a mazikim, you want to protect yourself from it. The other way is to say, and the Torah is admonishing a person not to be involved with it. The other way is to say that no, that there's at least with the mazikim, that there was nothing to it, but people believed it, and as long as it didn't have a avodah zarah involved, it's okay. But kishuf is defined in the Gemara. If you stay with the Daf Yomi, we'll get to Masechet Sanhedrin, it talks about kishuf. So your person shouldn't do actions that are like kishuf. So, does that answer your question or not, Robert?
Yeah, Yeah, no. I just was curious as to the
In other words, the Torah said, the prohibition of the Torah is against engaging in activity which is defined as kishuf. In other words, like the Gemara says, like an ov and a yidoni, you stick a bone in your mouth and you try to contact spirits, things like that. So a person is admonished not to do it. Whether it actually had like a koach or not, that's sort of like a topic of discussion. So some would say definitely it did have a koach. And then the other way, and then there's a Rambam. The Rambam says like a Jew shouldn't believe in these things. But then Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was saying that what the Rambam means is today we don't have it, or his time. But in the ancient world, it did exist. Okay, I got to get moving. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. All right, we have our youngest Daf Yomi member there. Okay, it's Seth's daughter. Okay, let's take a look. Now, okay, so the question on the table is, how can we have a mitzvah of Arba Kosot when that's Zugot? So we're going to have several answers. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, Leil Shimurim, Leil HaMeshumur Ba Min HaMazikim, that the night of Pesach is called Leil Shimurim, the night of protection. So there's a special, you know, like, cloud of protection or a dome of protection over us on the night of Pesach, and we're not afraid of Mazikim, like these harmful spirits. And normally we would be afraid of them, but not tonight. Rav Amar, Koshel Bracha Mitzarif L'Tova, Ve'ena Mitzarif L'Ra'a. Now, one of the four cups is the Koshel Bracha. Koshel Bracha is the kos for Birkat HaMazon. So the Koshel Birkat HaMazon is the only Mitzarif for Tova. It means, like, we view, like, the first three cups as a unit. In other words, in order to be a problem, I have to have two and two. But the Koshel Bracha is only Mitzarif L'Tova, not L'Ra'a. And I think the Rashbam quotes the Gemara, like later on we'll have it. It says, Yivarecha Hashem V'Yishmarecha, how like the Yishmarecha is that God should protect you, that's only Mitzarif itself for Tova. Or we'll see this later on in the Gemara. He says, Ravina Mar, Arba'a Kasei Takin Rabbanan Derecherut, Kol Chad V'Chad, Mitzvah, he says that each of the four cups is a separate mitzvah. It's not like four cups. It's cup one, then cup two, cup three, cup four, but each one is a separate mitzvah. It's like four separate mitzvot is the way he's saying. So then it's not a question of zugot. All right, I don't think Robert liked that one. Okay, now let's see further the Gemara. So the Gemara says on the top line on Kufiyot Amin Aleph, now we're going back to the Braisa, Lo Yaset Shrachav Trey. So a person shouldn't like engage in two acts of intimacy with his wife. That's doing zugot. So the Gemara says, "Amai nimlachu." He didn't want to act, and now he decided he wants to do another act. What makes them like joining together with one another? So Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar. So Abaye says this is what the Braisa means. Lo yuchal trei. Now on the side he corrects it. Lo yuchal trei v'yaset zrachav v'lo yishteh trei. It means not the way that he's having two acts of intimacy the way I first explained it. It means I shouldn't eat two things, whatever the two things are, two apples, two bananas, whatever the two things are, or two pieces of meat. I shouldn't eat twos, he says, and then have intimacy with my wife. Or lo yishtetre, I shouldn't like drink two cups of wine or liquor and then have intimacy with my wife. Lo yishtetre, and Vishtetray, and then the correction is Vyasetz Rachav, take out below Vyasetz Rachav, Afilu Pamachad, even to have intimacy once. In other words, I shouldn't have intimacy following an act of eating or drinking zugot. He says, Dilma Chalishumitra, because he might like become weakened through the act of intimacy with his wife, and then Mitra, he'll be harmed because he ate the zugot. In other words, like he'll be vulnerable because he's weaker now, and now like he'll be vulnerable because of the whole thing with the zugot. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did tonight? Everybody good? All right, so if everybody's good, let me see. Maybe I'll do a story tonight, even though Michael. Oh wait, I have something here as well. Let me tell you one second. I got this. All right, now. All right, let's go back to the Samachta B'Chagecha. Now, we mentioned that it's a mitzvah to make everybody be Mesameach. So he quotes here Tosfos and Tosfos in the Rosh Hashanah indicate that the first brisa, which says women should be given pretty clothing to rejoice with, is referring to the post-Beit HaMikdash era, when korbanot can no longer be offered. However, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, everybody would rejoice with the eating of the meat of shlamim, even women. That's the way Tosfos says. The Rambam, in codifying this halakha, writes that even though the korban shlamim is the primary simcha the Torah requires on Yom Tov, one is also obligated to gladden the hearts of all the members of his household with something suitable for them. How so? Children are given nuts and candies, men eat meat and drink wine, women are given pretty clothing. The Rambam thus indicates that even in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, one was obligated to buy his wife pretty clothing for Yom Tov. So moreover, the Rambam indicates that today, in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash, when we can no longer eat from the Korban Shlamim, the mitzvah Simcha still entails drinking wine and eating meat. That's the key idea of the Rambam. The Rambam says that even Bizman Ezeh, there's a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine. The Beis Yosef questions the Rambam's ruling, noting that our Gemara clearly indicates the mitzvah to eat meat on Yom Tov pertains only to the meat of the Shlamim, and to anyone who fills the mitzvah Simcha by drinking wine. Birkas Avram explains that their obligation to buy candies and nuts for one's children is not merely to train them in the mitzvah of simcha, chinuch, but rather it is for the sake of one's own mitzvah of simcha. In order for one to properly rejoice, it's essential that his family members are in a joyous mood as well. In other words, for me, let's say I'm the head of the household, so I'm mitzvah of being misameach. I can only be misameach if the other members of my household are happy. If one member of my household is miserable, then I can't really be happy on Yom Tov. Everybody's got to be happy. So I got to do what makes it, if the 6-year-old's not happy, I'm not happy. Okay, now, the Rambam writes that in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, one must invite orphans, widows, and other needy and despondent individuals to his Yom Tov feast. Rambam says that if one shuts his door to keep out the needy and rejoices privately with his own family, ain't su simchat mitzvah el simchat kreso. It's not considered a mitzvah celebration, rather a celebration of one's belly. Rambam also says that simchat Yom Tov, if exercised properly, should lead one to a higher level of avodas Hashem, not, heaven forbid, to frivolity, levity, and drunkenness. Okay, that's it with the simcha. Now, let me see what I have here. One second. Yeah, you know, he mentions here, this is in the Aladaf, he says, nowadays, through wine, the poskim write that even though one should partake of wine during his meal, apart from what he drank at Kiddush, and some even hold this obligation applies during Chol HaMoed as well, nonetheless, one who does not enjoy wine at all can fulfill his mitzvah simcha in other ways. I think, yeah, he quotes Rav Sternbach on this, but I think that's like the Shagas Aryeh. Even if one does partake of wine, the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays, even though there is no obligation to eat meat, there is a mitzvah to do so, and one should choose to eat it. Similarly, there is a mitzvah to buy women clothing, which we got. If one has a means to buy his extravagant items, he should at least buy his wife new shoes for Yom Tov. Those could also be pretty quickly expensive, depends what you get. Nonetheless, there are those who say that if she does not want any new clothing, one can fulfill the obligation by buying her a mixer or other items which she would enjoy. All right, let me just
ask a question.
Yeah,
in today's times when women work and they earn their own money, does that have, is there any meaning to that?
You mean why should we
give
buy
it up,
this?
David?
You mean why
no,
should said, we,
like you know? Yeah. In other words, you know, she could buy it for herself if she makes you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Although,
and she will.
Okay. But if you look,
she doesn't have any time. She's too busy working.
Yeah. If you look at what the mitzvah in the Torah is. It says, the thrust of the pasuk sounds like that you have to be mesameach the members of your family. In other words, the Torah is saying, you, the head of the household, should be happy, and also the other members of your family. It sounds like it's on him. It's on him. But I will say this, that, you know, even if a wife earns a lot of money, let's say the husband and the wife both earn a lot of money, there's a difference between the wife buying her own fur coat or the husband buying her a fur coat. Do you know what I mean? In other words, like, I think the simcha that you get, just that somebody thought enough of me to, you know what I mean? I think it's, you know what I mean? It's not the same when you.
But I'm just saying, the time was different then.
It's true. Women, a lot of women do make a lot of money, the same or more than their husbands. But it feels very different, I think, when to receive a gift as opposed to buying it on your own, I think. Okay. Now, all right, let me just do a story and that'll be it. The Shemi Shmuel of Sachachov taught that just as there is the physical meat of the Korban Shlamim and the inner Kedusha that is inherent in it, so too there is the physical enjoyment of the body and the inner joy of the festival. The special quality that basically makes it allow a person to feel the holiness of the offering while eating of it. And this eating would arouse within him a corresponding inspirational joy. Now, he wants to say there's a physical eating, but when I'm eating a korban, there's like a spiritual element as well. Now that we have no base of mikdash, mere eating does not tap into this holy simchus yantiv. We have to make other efforts as well. So he wants to say, like, there's more than like fressing on the yantiv. In other words, eating the korban shlamim is not. Anyway, he says, on one of the rare occasions that Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel merited to speak privately with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he asked which direction should be taken with students. So you must enliven the down spirited and uplift the downtrodden of heart. Rav Nassim Tzvi Zitzal followed these instructions with absolute devotion, and it was well known that he infused his yeshiva in Slobodka and later in Chevron. In other words, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, you know, after the Slobodka yeshiva, the branch was established in Chevron. Unfortunately, that was the yeshiva that was attacked in 1929, and then it moved to Yerushalayim, and it still exists in Yerushalayim today. So he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and said that he infused his yeshiva Slobodka later in Chevron with an atmosphere of joy, simcha, shel mitzvah, and delight in Torah study. He felt that this was a precondition to the Belmont of boys' potential, and made every effort to encourage any Talmud who seemed sad. A bacher from another Lithuanian yeshiva once arrived seeking aid for an attempted border crossing into Poland. The altar of Slobodka tried time and again to get the overly serious, tense young man to put on a smile to no avail. The boy could not break free of his training and somber self-restraint, and the altar failed to convey the importance of simcha. In other words, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, he's working. Okay, please. Michael, you had to mute yourself. Anyway, so Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, he was coming from the stream of the Musar movement. In other words, he's working with the Musar movement. And like basically people say Lithuanian Jews were like sort of like cold fish, you know, that type of thing. So this boy had a serious outlook. He wasn't doing like the simcha the way Rav Nassim Tzvi felt should be done. Although he'd originally agreed to send his own grandson with the boy to Mir, and from there they would try to cross into Poland, in the end Rav Nassim Tzvi had to revoke his permission. He said, "How can I send you with him? He doesn't understand that without the protective merit of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, I fear for your very lives." All right, I guess that's it for tonight. Okay, I'm going to let me end recording. All right.